And she'd say, look at Teddy and I and say, it's a great life if you don't weaken. And Teddy and I had just, what is she talking about? And now I know it's a great life if you don't weaken. It can be really good if we allow it to be. We're going to be in Hebrews 13 this morning, but first, I was going to possibly stick this in later, but I keep feeling impressed again. Let's turn to Philippians, if you would, first, in chapter 3, I believe 3. Yes. New year coming. This is the last one. This is it. A whole brand new year starts. And even though it's a, yeah, I hope to. It'd be nice. Chuck Smith used to say, if the Lord doesn't come today, he's missing a perfect opportunity. So, we'll see what happens. And I wonder, do we really want that? You know? We say that jokingly, and we say it redundantly, but do we really, really want him to come today? Yes. Not because of just a release from our doubts, our fears, our lives, our burdens, our heartaches, but just to be with him, period. And that's something that, there's a word in the Bible, I'm kind of going off script here, if that's okay. A lot of presidents get in trouble for that, but... there's a word in the Psalms, Selah, which means think on this. We read this stuff, boom, 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 right? Just look for something, read one scripture. Think on this is what God is trying to say. When we read any scripture, I think after every one it should say Selah, Selah, Selah. Think about what we're reading and what is God trying to say to us, and especially at this time. So I asked us to turn to Philippians chapter 3. I want to just look and read the whole book of Philippians, but let's just look at 13 and a little bit more possibly, in hopes that maybe this can encourage us with this coming new year. A lot of us have been assaulted, I'll say, by problems this past year. Pat and I... we say we've had a real bad day the last 4 years, and it's truth. But what are we going to allow the day to bring us? So here God is bringing us, hopefully, a new year. I want to think on that. And here the Apostle Paul, I think, said it a lot better than I could. Because a lot of us at the end of a year, we start to reflect, and that's when we make our New Year's resolution. I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to do that again. I am going to do this. I'm going to do that. My New Year's resolution started last 4 years ago. I am not making any New Year's resolutions anymore, period. Amen. Don't expect them. I'll try. That's all I can honestly say. But the Apostle Paul made a statement in Philippians, and I want us to think on this, to listen to this, because I think this is a New Year's resolution that I've never seen before, and maybe it could be helpful for myself and some of us. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now here, you know, we have a reason, I think, that if we could only do that, forgetting those things that are behind, but too many of us live in a scenario of the past, and that could go from yesterday to 50 years ago. We live in that, and if anybody had the authority to say something like this, I feel it was the Apostle Paul. I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. What was he forgetting? This is a man that held the coats of the people that were stoning other Christians. Can you imagine living with that in your lifetime? We're saying, well, you know, I have this going on in my life. I have that going on in my life. This is a guy that held those coats, walked hundreds of miles just to persecute people. And what he's saying now is, I'm putting that behind me. I think a lot of us have not putting. Putted was the word I was looking for. We have not put that past behind us. We still live in it. We think on that stuff. I don't know about you. I wake up at 2 in the morning. How many others? 2, 3? Don't you feel like that's the new 7, 2 o'clock, you know? And I'm thinking about bills. I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking, which is good. I'm thinking about leaving this church at one given point in time because I'm being moved that most of us, I mean, I think about every single item over and over and over, and I can't stop it. And Paul's saying, this one thing I do, I'm putting this behind me right now. This is done. I'm over. What we should be thinking is our present life in Jesus Christ and my relationship to him. We live in this tension every day of my old life, my new life, what I'd like to do, what I do, and what I don't want to do. That consumes us when I feel that at least this year maybe no New Year's resolution, because that's when you fail, but I'm going to try to think more about my relationship with Christ, who I am in Christ. He has forgiven me for a lot of the stuff in the past, and the things that are in the past that I have no power to change whatsoever, he's going to make those things either disappear or he's going to make them all brand new one day. We need to think of these things. So what does Paul do instead of what he was doing? 14 says, I press towards the mark. I press, I strain. I'm using diligence. Everything that's in me, I'm moving now because I'm forgetting 2023. In a sense, and the heartache, the headaches that it brought me. Let's think, you know, Nanny, again, not only it's a great life if you don't weaken, count your many blessings. How many had a mother or grandmother that said that to you? But we let one misfortune outride 20, 30 blessings. They just seem to disappear. And Paul's saying, I'm forgetting all that. What I'm going to do right now, I am going to use all my diligence. I'm going to press. I am going to force myself forward to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, in 15, as many as be perfect, mature. As none of us are going to be perfect. The only thing that is ever going to be perfect is heaven and the God who exists within that. Amen. Be thus minded, and if anything else you're otherwise minded, God will reveal this even to you. He'll tell us through his word. Selah, think about this. A new year. Forget about what I didn't do. Forget about where I blew circumstance, where I blew opportunities. They're not going to come back, those. But there is a very good possibility that God, who doesn't re-gift the giftings that he's given us and give it to somebody else, he'll keep using you. He'll keep using you. He'll keep using me if I choose to do that. Make that maybe our battle cry this year. Use me, Lord. Period. That's not a New Year's resolution. It's just something that I'm asking. Use me and watch how he'll do that. So, Selah, take that one home this week. Chew on it a little bit. Meditate on it a little bit. We're on our way. We're on our way. Hebrews 13. There's so much in what we've been looking at, and what an epilogue to a wonderful book. I heard that the ladies are going to do Hebrews in their next study. Wonderful. I hope it takes you another year. I don't know, what did it take us? We're not done yet. Have you got a starting date on it, Tommy?
I don't, because you might have.
Oh, now I have the Google Paint. I know. I can't even read the large print without glasses. It's just a marketing ploy, I think. You know, it doesn't matter. Hebrews 13. Let's just real quick. You know, Jesus Christ the same. That's verse 8. Yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. We do, don't we? And but I've seen some things in me that have changed that I'm not very happy with. I've seen some things that happened to me in my life, let's say, that's changed me, not in a great way, but I'm really not pleased with them. Christ is the same from the very first word of God to the very last one that we have in our Bibles until we see him face to face. He hasn't changed one bit. Don't be carried about with diverse, all these different strange doctrines we have. It's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. This year, is my heart established in grace? Period. Period. The rest of it's just fluff. That doesn't really matter. At one point in time, that's all going to disappear. And we're going to have that time standing in front of our Lord and Savior and being asked, what did you do about my son? Did the grace of God enfold me? Did it take me completely out of this world into that next world? Think about some of that stuff. Not with meats, rituals and rules, remember, and regulations, which haven't profited them which be occupied therein. It gave them a position, but it gave them no salvation. And neither do church rules, regulations, and traditions bring salvation unto mankind. It just doesn't do it. And we have myriads out there that adhere to all these traditional things that were not from the Lord. You teach for doctrine, the tradition of man. The basic doctrine that he wants from us is that our hearts should be established with grace, not with a bunch of these things that we've done within a church structure. We have an altar, wherefore intend, that they have no right to each which serve the tabernacle. Our altar, this is telling us again to remember, it's the cross, it's Jesus Christ. 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, what a type here in 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. You know, this is a time to stand up and just start singing, there's power in the blood, have we? There is power in the blood. There's no power in the blood of an animal that was sacrificed other than to keep it alive at that point in time. Blood sacrifice means absolutely nothing is what the author of Hebrews is saying. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. And he used him as that type who was taken outside the city walls. You're going to need to read about those Levitical things that we had in the way that the tabernacle was set up. But he was that perfect type of what they were trying to see here in the tabernacle. He did it outside the city walls, crucified, all of his blood for our sanctification, for our salvation. Jesus in 12, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us, now here's today's section, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Father God, help us to allow this to get into our heart today. Those words, Father, of what you're saying that could change anyone within this room, anyone outside these walls. Father God, help us to take this year and realize the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Help us, Father, not to be deceived in this year to come. Help us to grow in strength. Help us to grow in grace, Father God. Help us to keep our eyes fixed and focused on you. Hastening, as the word says, hoping for that day of your appearance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're looking at verse 13, and I don't know what it says. Some of them don't say that in the NIV or the Living, but in 13 in the King James, it says, let us go forth, therefore, unto him. Real separation from this world, real forward progress is not just leaving something, going from it. It's going unto Jesus Christ. Too many of us as Christians, well, I don't curse anymore. I don't smoke anymore. I don't drink anymore. I don't go to that place anymore. I don't watch movies. We say, that's going forth. Everybody does that. Everybody does that. But the author is telling us today, go unto, all right, so you left all that stuff. That's great. There were a lot of things we probably had in our past that were not good for us, period, amen. And we are concerned about our physical health, aren't we? Of course, diets and vitamins and everything else. Let's go past that is what he's saying. And I'm thinking this year, let's go past that. I haven't done it. I'm still going to eat Spam. But it doesn't make me a better Christian. Maybe it does. I don't know. Doesn't make me a worse one. So what we need to do, what the author is saying here, what the Holy Spirit is saying, let's get beyond these rules and regulations and rituals and traditions. And yes, you did those things. Good. Now moving now, let's go unto. Is that word in yours? If it's in the King James, underline it. Put little quotes around it. Let's go unto Jesus without the camp, bearing his reproach. So there's two things being said in this one little verse. Let's get to Jesus. And if there's someone in here that you know in your heart, yeah, you know, I come to church and I do all this and I look around and my only God knows a heart. Only God knows a heart. Don't ever judge somebody's salvation by an action, a word, or anything else. But we're here and today. Let's go to Jesus. And that, I think that's if you're not saved or you have a family member that's not saved, let's get to Jesus. Let him see us. At least that's the direction I'm going. I'm not heading back to my old past. I'm going unto Jesus. So here he is showing us that real separation, real salvation is not just from things, but it's unto Jesus, trying to encourage us, leave these rules and regulations this year, the traditions, the regulations, they're great. I'm not knocking them completely, but they have nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with inspiration and emotions and feelings and whatnot. It has nothing to do with eternal salvation. But I think that the important part here in 13 is 13b. So let's stop all the, well, I don't do this anymore, so I must be a good Christian. Oh, you do that? Oh, how can you do that? You're a Christian. How could you engage in, bop, 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 you fill in the blanks? What he's telling us is get beyond that now. And let's go unto Jesus outside the camp, outside all the rules and regulations. But look at what it says, bearing his reproach. Bearing his, what an interesting part that he's telling us something to do here. And maybe this year, reproach, disappointment, disgrace, disapproval, shame. My last word. Disgrace. That's what reproach is. Now, that's not just, oh, yeah, you go to Calvary Chapel, don't you? That would be a great reproach, wouldn't it? That'd be so simple to take. But he's saying, let's leave it. Let's leave this disgrace. So I wanted to look into that. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, read it all. We don't have the time, but read most of the chapter to get the context. But in verse 14, we were just told in Hebrews to bear his reproach. That means to carry, to manifest it, to express it. When I'm outside the door, everybody, when you walk in here, oh, that's Doug, the pastor, right? But when I'm outside there, who am I? Am I Doug the pastor? Am I Doug the Christian? I don't want to be known as Doug the pastor. I want to be known as Doug the Christian. Amen. And is that how I'm known? Outside the camp, let's just jokingly say that. Am I known that way? Are you known that way? What are you known for? Who you are, what a great community activist you might be, how much you give, and what you do. And or are you known as that person who, I don't know how, why, or how they can do it, but man, they love God. That's what we should be shooting for. Because the Word of God says in 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, reproach, remember, all those words that we put in there, happy in the King James, but that means blessed, kind of just like Matthew 5, right? In the Beatitudes, we're blessed. Blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. People don't even realize when there's something different about you. You know what it is? It's the glory of God that we don't really see because we're too busy trying to make sure the outward appearance is pretty good. We need this year to let that inward radiance just start shining, because the Word of God is saying that if somebody says, oh, you know, you lost your mind, you left your brain at the door of the church, you gave every, you know, happy, blessed are you. Jesus is just saying, there's my child. There's my child. And there's a blessing for that, because His glory, God's glory, is resting on us. On their part, He's evil spoken of. So what? In a sense, you know, it hurts. And I have a habit sometimes of telling people, if I hear too many GDs or anything else, that's my Lord you're talking about. Do you mind? That's all you have to say. That's my Lord. Can't we say something else? Use Buddha. Use Muhammad. Use somebody else. Now, that might even be wrong in itself, but on their part, He's evil spoken of, but on your part, He's glorified. Wow. This year, given the glory where it belongs. Let's go to John, if you would, 15. We're talking about reproach, just to keep that on there. Not something that a lot of us like. How many get up in the morning and say, boy, I sure hope I'm reproached today, you know? We don't do that. Boy, I sure hope it's a good day. Gee, I hope I, you know, we have all these hopes. I hope the car runs good. I hope, you know, but do we, I don't think we should hope for it, but be ready for it, because I have nothing other than my heart saying this. It's coming, guys. It's coming. We're going to be reproached. But let's see first what God says. John 15, verse 18. You know, we all want to be liked, right? But here we are being told by the Holy Spirit, man, leave that stuff, get out of the camp, let's bear His reproach. Right here we have John saying, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So he's talking way back then, but this word is alive today. And this world very soon is going to hate us. Get ready, you know, we might not like that thought in our ear. We might not like what it does in our thoughts of our mind or our hearts, but this world is going to hate us. And if you don't think that, look at Israel right now first. Amen. First, hatred. We are the next after Israel. We are the great Satan, if you would. We're these Christians that way back, a Christian, was a term of derision is what it was, like a curse word for them. We're going to be back to that one day. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word, 20, that I said unto you. Remember the word. The only way we're going to do it, Selah. Keep getting this word into us this year. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And if they've kept my saying, they'll keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I have not come and spoken unto them, in 22, they had not had sin or an excuse for their sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin or excuse. He that hateth me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which other men did, they had not had sin. But now have they both sinned and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without cause. But, and I love those little buts in here every now and then, but when the Comforter is come, and he's come, the Holy Spirit is here. We have the resurrection power living within ourselves. Everything that we need is right inside here, believe it or not. Think about that, because I know I don't often enough, and I go back into Doug's power, and that's when I lose strength, that's when I weaken, that's when things don't seem right, because I'm trying to fix things, live things, do things in my power, instead of the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of God that dwells in me. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. And I want to get on that. Katie, you know, you were asked this morning about the soundboard. I don't want to do it, right? And I what echoed in my ear was Ted every Sunday says, we need to worship in spirit and in truth. That is the word of God. That's not Ted. But the spirit, which is willing, and the flesh is weak, yeah. The truth was you don't want to do it. Can't we live in truth this year?
Yes.
With each other at least? That's living, worshiping in the spirit of truth. My spirit wants, I want to put Franklin Graham to shame some nights, you know? Yeah. I'll get out there and run something. Yeah, that'd be a joke. I'm always saying that facetiously. That's what my spirit wants. Don't you want to do more for the Lord? Don't you want to go out there and just watch people melt and fall on their face and cry and give their life to the Lord, you know? Yeah. But this stinking flesh that we got to carry around is overpowering a lot of stuff. So sorry about that. But that was spirit and truth, see? That's really spirit and truth. Oh, we put on the coffee-filtered Christian mask all the time to get all of the, you know, bad sediments out. And we try to say the right thing in truth, but it's neither one. It's not, the spirit is not the truth part, and the truth isn't the truth part. Let's worship him like this says, in spirit and truth, which proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you, now this one 27, and you also shall bear witness. That's a very important word I'd ask you to look at, because I feel he's never changed this. Remember, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We had that in verse 8. So that means he's got the same thought pattern right now towards us. That will be his witness. That's something we hate, don't we? But in Acts 1, in verse 8, that word witness, you're going to be my witness right here in Netherlands. Then I'm going to move you to Boulder. Then I'm going to take you maybe to Denver. Then I'm going to take you to another state somewhere. That's in our terms today. Witness was a martyros, martyr. Whew. Am I willing to bear his reproach? I'm going back to that. If I knew that I knew that I knew, that is going to be my end. So he's telling us here, and you also, not just John, not just the followers that he had at this time, but you and you and you, you're going to be my witnesses. See, this is a relationship that, you know, without the Holy Spirit, we're powerless and really restricted. But with God, we can do everything. It's a reciprocal relationship. And you also shall bear witness. We were told to bear his reproach in Hebrews. Now we're being told that we'll bear witness, and that could be martyr. Don't know. But again, at least it will be those words that we thought of before. Derision. What else? Rejection. Ridicule. Am I willing this year, before you step out, am I willing? Because, he says, you have been with me from the beginning. Yeah. What kind of thought is that? You have been with me since the beginning. Pat grew up, I've said this before, in the Roman Catholic Church, and there was a statement there. Before you were born, you were in God's pocket. I didn't understand what that meant when I was dating her, and I'd hear it from her family and all that. That means he knew us. He knew us before he knit us together in our mother's womb. He knew everything about us. You've been with me from the beginning. You didn't just, I mean, you got saved and got saved on a Monday in 80. Remember that one? You stand up and raise your hand. We used to sing that song. If you got saved on a Wednesday, you know, stand up and raise your hand. You were with him from the beginning. Can you imagine the thoughts that he has towards us? So I wanted us to think on that. I wanted us, let's go back to Hebrews. I want myself to think about that this year. Am I willing to bear his reproach? Am I willing to take a stand this year? And you know, this isn't going out and knocking on doors or flying a sign on the corner and all. It's just being available. That when God puts someone in our path, that somehow, some way, we can just speak the love of Jesus Christ to them. That's what it is. How much he really loves us. To correct some thoughts that are a little misguided, maybe. We don't have to know chapter and verse and the Greek and the Hebrew, it helps. I'm not nullifying any of that. It clarifies it. But for us to get outside the camp, for us to bear witness to him and carry his reproach, all we have to do is know what we know. Know what saved you. Know what brought your heart to that point where it was crushed and you knew that you knew. This is truth. Just speak it this year. Is what I feel that the Holy Spirit is trying to get to us. Am I willing? Will I take a stand? It's the old added, you take a stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Watch what's coming this year. It's coming. You know, Paul said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. I don't think it says it in most of the translations, but I thought about that the other night when I was reading that. I press towards the mark and the prize of the high calling of God. There's a mark coming. There is a mark coming to this world. And some of the people that will receive that mark might even be Christians, thinking that I can cross my fingers and still, the people that are not going to have that mark are not going to be able to buy any food. They're not going to be able to sell anything. They have to do anything. They're not going to be able to work. There's going to be hell on earth beyond anything we know coming. Yes. Think on this, is what God's saying. Get out. Bear my reproach. Be my witness. Why? I've had such a rough life as it is. Why should I do it? Can I have this time? Thank you. Hebrews 14. I'd like to leave it for next week, but Michael Miller will be bringing us the word next week. One of our own grew up in here, bringing us God's word. So I want to bring what I feel he's at least trying to impress on me. Why should I do that? Well, 1 year is over and a new year is beginning. I have a, remember what Paul said, put it behind us, forget about it. Why should I do that? And if my heart really is towards the unsaved, it said that 30% of the 18 to 30-year-old population in the United States are now considered nuns, not N-U-N-S, like a nun. Nuns, no faith, no belief, nothing. They're nuns, and they are taking that terminology to themselves. Why is that? I don't know. Have they heard? I don't know. But you and I this year might be someone's last true statement, bless you, towards salvation, whatever we might say to them, even if it's simple as God loves you. God loves you. That's going to put heaping coals on somebody's head. How could God love me? I know it brought that to my life. I don't know about any of you. That was my question. I hear you saying God loves me, but how can he love me? Not me. And there's hundreds out there that are probably saying, not me. I don't have any belief. You live, you die, you have fun, worms eat you. There's so much more than any of that. You might, I might. Be someone's last voice of true salvation. So 14, why should I do it? Here's the answer. For here, where's here? Here. That's a pretty, is that a literal? I had somebody tell me, you take the whole Bible literally? I think, well, where the literal parts are, yes, I do. You know, God had wings and feathers. No, he didn't have feathers and he wasn't, that's not literal. It's an analogy kind of a, but here, what does that mean? For here, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. He's talking about heaven. And I joke from here. Have I told anybody that I'm going to heaven? You know, yes, I have told you that. But do I think on that every single day of my life? Or am I taking this world and whatever it's throwing at me or offering to me, am I thinking more about that? And I'll have to say yes, because that's why I wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning. I wish I woke up thinking about heaven. I wish I woke up thinking about walking down a street of gold with D, okay? Amen. I do. Or even my dog one day, Susie and Jerry, said, you don't think dogs go to heaven? And I used to say, no, I hope they don't go to heaven. We don't need them up there. I want to walk around with Polly. Christmas Day, we just put my grandson's dog down on Christmas morning. Imagine waking up in the morning to get your presents and the vet is there putting your dog down. I mean, I want this to be over with. But I need to think about heaven a whole lot more than what I am. And I know that's what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I need to reconcile that with myself. For here we have no continuing permanent city. This ain't it. We're going somewhere. And I pray it's to heaven. And that's what he's trying to encourage us to just live this year out loud. Get the word out there. This is not my home. We just got a call, 30-year, I won't say names or anything. I got a call from my, Stephanie's best friend, 30 years old, just passed away. 30 years old. We don't have a continuing city here. What do we got left? And I think he's trying to tell us, start thinking about heaven. This is not your home. These Jews that he was writing to, they were thinking about going back. I think this year the Holy Spirit's telling us we need to go forth, man. We need to get moving forward. Get moving. The time is short. But I feel I'm mired in this world with all its thoughts and concerns and tyrannies and things that yell at us every single day. We need to somehow change our thoughts towards heaven, that one day I'm going to be there. We should be more concerned with our world to come than the world that right now is, because this one's passing. Not my words, God's words. We are going to be involved, I think, in a great persecution before we see our blessed hope, the rapture, that we will be persecuted. We will be ridiculed. We might lose a whole lot of blessings that we have on this earth right now before the Lord comes. There is a beginning of birth pains. Don't think we're going to slip out of this just skipping and dancing and picking flowers out in the field. Remember what we heard about if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Are we prepared for that day? Or am I prepared for that reproach? Do I think too much about this world, my vacations, my home, my car, my this, my that, than I do my eternal existence, which is going to be heaven? It's only 12-something, heaven. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know, do I know? Oh, I assume it. I've heard it. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, and that's our tents, these are just some tents. These are just some peanut shell with the good part inside somehow. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we die, okay, whatever. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Heaven. We don't have a continuing city. That's what we have. Hebrews 11, turn fast and I'll end. That'll get them turning faster. Hebrews 11. We read this one, remember? Hebrews 11. 8 through 10, maybe, somewhere in there. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. That's us too, okay? Afterwards, we're not in heaven right now, not to my understanding. So it's still coming.